As I introduce Brother Mail to you this evening, some of you here tonight, I don't believe, have ever met him. Some of you have. He was those of us who got to make the trip to Alaska not too long ago when the Anchor was organized into a church. Brother Mail was up there on that trip. And some of you, I believe, met him perhaps there in Alaska. But as I introduce him tonight, there's something unique about Brother Phil in that way. He's the only one, to the best of my remembrance, the only one of my preacher brothers that the first time I met him, I was standing in the middle of a great big open grass field. We met in a big grass field in Ohio, just in a little town on the close to the Ohio and West Virginia border. And Brother Phil hadn't been saved long at that time. And Brother Phil Creasy from Old Time Missionary Baptist Church in Elizabeth, West Virginia, had called me and asked me to come and to help him in a tent revival in October in this Ohio town. And I told him I would be there, and I lived in Illinois at the time, and so I went there to Ohio, and there they had a big tent set up in October in the middle of that big field, and there one evening I met Brother Phil Mail. And throughout the week, we preached in that tent, and there were some, I don't believe I'll ever forget it. I hope I don't, but there were some nights where the wind got up, and that those tent flaps, I mean, they got to rocking. I mean, they were really making some noise, and you had to preach above it. And so we had that tent revival, and the Lord was with us. And I'm thankful that the Lord will come out into a field. God will honor the gospel wherever it's preached. And so we had a good week, and I always, whenever I begin to think about that, there was one thing in particular that happened during that week. I believe it was a Tuesday or Wednesday evening, but I had finished preaching, and everyone was singing, and they had a little book board there. And I was leaning down, looking at the songbook and singing. And I looked up, and there was this big, husky man named Jim Riggs. And he was standing right in front of me. And, I mean, right in front of me, and tears in his eyes. And he was beating on his chest with his hand. And he looked at me and he said, "I gave my life to the Lord when I was a teenager, but I haven't lived my life for him." And the only question that came into my mind, and I looked back and I said, "Are you sure that you were ever saved?" And he said, "No, I'm not." And he just hit the ground and began calling on the name of the Lord. And he came back the next night, and he stood up and he testified to us that he had got saved that day at work in the bathroom, that the Lord had saved him. And I don't believe I'll ever forget that. But I'll never forget the look on his face. And you know, you read there in the parable about the Pharisee and the publican, and talking about the publican smote up on his breast, and he was beating himself, and he was just, I mean, well, the Lord had him. That's all there was to it. The Lord had him. And so I enjoyed that week, and that's when I got to meet Brother Mayo, and we've been privileged to be in some good services then, and I appreciate him being here tonight. When I met him, I thought he was crazy. I mean, he had recently got saved, and he had so much zeal that he just, I thought he was crazy. And I told Brother Mike that the other night, and Brother Mike said he's not sure yet, but I love Brother Phil. He's been, I believe Brother Dallas mentioned this to you, he's been all over the country. He's Brother Phil, since that time, got called to preach, and he's held several of those tent revivals in many different places, and thankful for the work that he's done. He is a member of Fairhaven Missionary Baptist Church in Friendly, West Virginia, and we are thankful. He lives in the Columbus, Ohio area, and we're thankful to have him here tonight, and want to give way to him and ask you to pray for him as he comes tonight to share with us what the Lord has given him. So we appreciate him being here and having made the trip. God bless you, friend.
Like I say, I'm thankful to be here tonight. Thankful for all of you that have prayed for us, safe traveling mercies, and everything to come this way. It's always an honor and a privilege for me each time we get to stand and speak for the Lord. As Brother Jerry was talking about, I've grown to really love him, his family. Big Jim thought he was saved, we used to work out together all the time. And during that revival, he got saved in the bathroom where we worked at the plant where I recently was laid off of last year. His daughter got saved in the bathroom at the high school where she was going. So there was two people saved that we know of in that revival. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for what the Lord can do. And I need to try to sing a song here if I can find it real quick. Just bear me with me. Excuse me. Yeah, you know, that's one thing about the Lord, when you serve him in spirit and truth. You don't have to worry about being embarrassed. You don't have to worry about anything. You know, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I'm free in Jesus tonight, and I'm thankful. That's what he's all about, you know. He's about freedom, and I'm thankful for the freedom. I was standing on the banks of the river, looking out over life's troubled sea, when I saw an old ship that was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? Its hull was bent and battered from the storms of life I could see. Waves were rough, but that old ship was steady. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? At the stern of the ship was the captain. I could hear as he called out my name. Get on board, it's the old ship of Zion. It will never pass this way again. As I step on board, I'll be leaving all my sorrow and heartache behind. I'll be safe with Jesus, the captain, sailing out on the old ship of Zion. Sailing out on the old ship of Zion. I'm thankful for that old ship. You know, as I go through this life, it seems like I get beat and battered. No servant's above his master. Sometimes people make fun, and a lot of things happen in life. You know, some folks might say you're a little crazy. I tell them I'm crazy about Jesus. And I tell you, my dear children, when the Lord comes back in his glory, we're all going to find out what we should have been doing. We should have been praising the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me tonight. And I'll tell you, if we want to see the revivals that once hit this country, if we want to see revival in our churches in this land, it's going to start with prayer. And I'm going to tell you, we need to praise the Lord through everything, big and small. You know, the Bible says those who suffer with him will also reign with him. We need to be satisfied with whatever portion the Lord Jesus Christ gives us in our lives. Because I'll tell you what, whether I got much or whether I got little, it really doesn't matter to me. Because I'll tell you, I got a retirement plan and it's out of this world. We had a 13-year-old get saved here a while back at the mission, and she said, Brother Phil, you preach about going to heaven all the time. I said, I'll tell you, my dear child, the closer you get to God, the more you want to be with him. You long to be with him. The earth yearns for his return. And I tell you what, some folks say I ain't looking for a place to cross over. I'm not going to jump out in front of a bus, but if I fall out tonight, don't worry if my breath smells. You don't have to give me mouth to mouth. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know he'll stand in the latter day. This world's not my home. I'm just a pilgrim passing through, and that's the way we need to look at this place. I tell you what, we need to lay up our treasures in heaven where the moth and rust can't corrupt and where thieves can't break in and steal. This world is a lie. I tell my children, the whole world is a circus. Don't you be the clown. We need to lay up everything for the Lord, because one day that's where who's going to judge us, and that's who we're going to answer to. The Bible says he's going to judge the quick and the dead. Each and every one's going to be judged. Those that have been quickened by his spirit unto eternal life, and those that haven't been unto eternal damnation. And I'll tell you, it's important tonight, very important tonight, that we truly get a burden. As that old brother said out in the hills of West Virginia, how that we would have a burden for lost souls. I'll tell you, I get burdens for my children all the time. And I get burdens for other lost people. We should come through those doors right there. You know, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how many times would I have taken you under my wing the way a mother hen does her chicks? But you would not let me. And that's the way we need to feel about a lost and dying world. You know, we were talking about prosperity and different things in the world. Don't get me wrong. We need to live in this world, but we don't need to be of this world. We have to walk through this world. We need to use our time, our talents, our gifts, and our efforts, and our finances toward the furtherance of the kingdom of God, my dear children. You know, I heard a story Brother Jerry Reynolds told me years ago, and I wish the Baptists of today were like that. Because I tell you, the Lord put on my heart that I need to start learning how to type. I'm going to write some stuff down because I'm just new at this. I'm going to tell you, I was saved on May 6, 2001, and I've just been around our people for seven and a half years. But I'll tell you something. I've seen a great falling away just since I've been saved. I can't imagine what people have seen down through time. But it's important, important that we follow the Lord in spirit and truth. You know, the Bible says in the last days, The love of many will wax cold and many will fall away. We need a burden for the lost today, my dear children. We need a burden for the lost. But Brother Jerry was telling me that story about an old pastor, I believe it was him, telling me. Said he came down in here in the hills of West Virginia from Missouri and said to the old deacon got up, the wife, his wife got up, and she was calling on the name of the Lord around midnight hour or so. And the next thing you know, the old gentleman was up, the deacon in the church, and the old preacher said, well, next thing you know, I couldn't help but get up and start praying. That's what we need, my dear children. We're not watching too many late night shows and all this kind of stuff when we need to be getting in our Bibles and reading and studying and praying and asking God to give us a burden for a lost and dying world. It's important tonight. You know, I preached a little bit out in Indianapolis this past weekend. And, you know, thinking about hell. I wish God could give us all just a little glimpse of it. He'd give me a little glimpse one time, more than once. It's a bad place. So bad, I don't want anybody to go there. So bad, it doesn't matter to me. I'd rather have someone a little upset with me and tell them about Jesus than walk past them and never mention his name. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be horrible, my dear children. Those people that have to go to the fiery pits of hell, they cannot get out. It's horrible. And we don't want anybody to go there. So we need to get in the spiritual realm. We need to think in the spiritual realm. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're spiritual, my dear children. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds in our lives. And it's important that we spend much time in prayer. I was thinking, wasn't it Simeon that prayed, waiting on Jesus to come? He was in the temple. He had a good job, didn't he? Watch and pray. Pray continually. By prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God, because he's the one, my dear children. He's the great paymaster. He's the one. He's the one that puts this joy down in our hearts that no one can take away. It doesn't matter what we go through down here. You know, my little wife, she's 5.5 years younger than me. She was never sick a day in her life. Till she married me. And I know I was supposed to marry, but let me tell you something. It seems like everything I'm around gets destroyed. Because we try to stand for Jesus. I'm going to tell you, them disciples and them apostles of old, they went through a lot, my dear children. They wrote down a holy writ so we could understand what it is to suffer with the Lord. And when you press into the kingdom the way we're supposed to, we're going to suffer. This is not our place. This is not our home. But see, we're not good at it. So when it starts getting a little heated there, we seem to want to back off. That's what happens. That's the nature of man. But I'll tell you something. It's important that we keep praying and pressing in toward the kingdom and ask God for a burden. You know, about everywhere I go, Andrew, Quentin. Andrew's 20. Quentin's 19. I got two boys out in the world that don't know God. My baby girl's 13. Please pray for them. I pray God to give you a burden that wake you up in the night for them. That's what I pray. I pray you get a burden for those around you. That you'd wake up needing to pray. My wife, bless her heart, at 3 o'clock in the morning the other night, she was just hollering and screaming out to God, oh, please, Lord, save our families, save our children. We need a burden, folks. We need a burden for a lost and dying world. But I want to look here. I want to start in Isaiah 44, verse 1. You know, if we want to see a time of refreshing in this country again, of true fear, spiritual refreshing, it's going to start with prayer. And we got to praise God through all things, big and small. You know, I think it was Paul, he said, I count everything as dung. But to finish this race, to win the prize that Christ has set before us, to do what the Lord Jesus Christ would have us to do. But let's look here. It says, yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground.
I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring.
I want to tell you something, my dear children. I fear sometimes that we're too worried about our own families instead of evangelizing a lost and dying world. You know, I think it was old Hank Jr. when I used to listen to them old songs. He said, if you mind your own business, you won't be minding mine. I'm going to tell you, if we'd get busy about the Lord's business tonight, we wouldn't have time for all the things that are happening around. Churches wouldn't be fussing. Things wouldn't be happening that are happening down in this part of the country and all around the world where God's true people are, because I'm going to tell you, we'd be about the Lord's business, and I'll tell you, his work's not burdensome, and he'll keep you busy from sun up till sundown if you'll let him. I had someone tell me, you know, I was driving down the road, I switched my tires. I think I put about 5,500 miles a month in the last 2 months on that little old car out there. Why? Because God tells me where to go. I try to go and be where God wants me to be. Because I'll tell you what, that's where the true blessings are. The old devil, he's going to try everything in his power to keep you from the fullness of God. The Bible says there in the 16th Psalm that in his presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength tonight. See, that's where power comes from with God, when you get into that place where your strength is, where you rejoice in everything big and small that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you, and you give him praise, honor, and glory no matter what comes your way. It's important tonight. You know, he said in the 2 Chronicles, I believe 7:14, he talked about, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then I'd hear from heaven and heal their land and forgive their sin. You know something the Lord showed me this summer? I grew up in a Methodist church. I was never around old-time Baptist folks, and I didn't know anything about the truth or anything like that. I was almost 38 years old when I got saved, but I thought, you know why this country's going to hell in a handbasket? I know why. One of the reasons. As I was preaching a revival in Lafayette, Tennessee, I was listening to all the brothers and sisters who were talking about people that growed up under the truth. Grandma and grandpa saved, mom and dad saved, but yet are trampling the grace of God underneath their feet like it's nothing. Like it's nothing. Do you think God's pleased with that? I don't believe so. But I'll tell you what we need to do is try to go out and restore those people. We need to reach out and try to beg those people to come back, that we can change a nation again. I tell you, if a few people get right with God, I believe that's why the Lord put on my heart down here on Wednesday night. I'm not saying you're not right with God, but usually that's the core of the church. And I tell you, if you want revival to start, you have to let it start with you. You get excited. You get to invite people to church. I tell you what, the Lord will put a joy in your heart, a praise on your lips, and a grin on your face. I tell you, a lost and dying world should look upon us and desire what we have when we're following the Lord in spirit and truth. It's important that we proclaim the name of Jesus. You know, there was nothing comely about him. There was nothing for a lost and dying world to look upon. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. But it's the drawing, convicting power of God that it's going to take to see people get saved. David talked about when he said, restore unto the joy of thy salvation, talked about renew his heart and spirit. He said, then will I see sinners come in and be converted. We have to get right. What motives do we have in life? Let's look on over here into John, the 15th chapter, the 5th verse. You know, I like where the Lord talks about the true vine. Because I believe he wants us to have much joy. I believe he wants us to, you know, and I might get to them in a little bit, but Paul and Silas, you know. Well, it's a midnight hour, wasn't it? The prison doors and everything went open, but they said, we're all here, didn't they? I believe they affected those people in such a way that all of them were right with the Lord. Very well could have been. They were singing songs to God down in a place where probably if somebody didn't keep you alive, you would die. So how much do we really suffer for the gospel? How much are we really given? Are we given out of our want? We need to be careful. Some people give out of their abundance. You know that? You know, I'm going to tell you something. Remember this one.
If it don't cost you something, you didn't give him anything. Did you hear me? I'm not talking about your money. I'm talking about your time, your talents, your gifts, your efforts. If it didn't cost you, you didn't give him nothing. If you're just giving out of the abundance whenever you get time, do you know what I found out through the last revival? I thank God that seven people joined the church through the little revival we had down at the mission where I've been preaching to that for 2 years. I called several of my Christian friends down there. We had revival for 15 nights from the 17th to the 31st. And you know what they said? Many people I called, we'll try to make it one night, Brother Phil. What? Maybe you can fit God into one night? Isn't that something? We'll try to make one night. I'm going to tell you when the revival comes around, it needs to be early and often. And I'm going to tell you when the church doors is open, God's people need to be there. Amen. Supporting the cause. And they need to be out in the streets inviting people, or compelling them to come, going into the highways and the hedges and compelling them to come. That they might hear the word. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I tell you, if they don't get in here and hear, I told my children, I tell you, I've been hard on my children sometimes. I don't mean to be, but I said, look, children, get your friends, my two saved ones. Get them to church. Beg them, plead with them. Because once they get out in the world, they ain't heard it. If you don't get them while they're early, they ain't coming. You know, the majority of the people I've been seen saved since I've been saved by the grace of God and around and preaching and different things, most of them has been 18 years and younger. Do you know that? That's my personal experience. I don't know about any of you. Majority of the people I've been seen saved have been 18 years and under. Nowadays, they get out in the world because I tell you, we teach them to be prideful over everything, don't we? They got to have such and such a job. No. No. What they need to do is follow the Lord. God will supply all your needs according to, like my brother said, according to his riches in glory. God will give you exactly what you need to further his kingdom. Because it's not about us. See, that's what we need to realize today. We got too many, me, myself, and I as Christians today. It's not about us, my dear children. It's about lifting up the name of Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. It's about lifting up the mighty name of Jesus that men might be drawn unto him through the precious Spirit of God and be converted and be set free from the bondage of sin. It said, I am the vine, you are the branches. John 15 and 5, the gospel. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. I tell you, God wants you to bring forth much fruit tonight. Huh? How will you know them? By the love they have one for another. A good tree don't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree don't bear good fruit. I tell you, fruit should follow us, shouldn't it? There should be some things happen around us. They should be sinners being converted. They should be a God's people being restored. They should be all kinds of things happening. I'll tell you what, God was so displeased with Ananias and Sapphira, remember? They came in and tried to lie, did some things. There was such a revival going on, God just removed them. That's what we need to get. We need to get such a revival that God, if people get in the way, God will just remove them. But it starts with us, my dear children. It starts with us tonight. The Bible says there in the Beatitudes, those that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. I'll tell you, if we was hungry tonight, I'll tell you, I get a little hungry myself. Sometimes I gained some weight over some health problems in the last few years, but ain't too many people in this country lacking for food. You know what I'm saying? But we need the spiritual food. How we need that manna from above. The Bible says if we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the way the scriptures tell us, rivers of living water, it'll flow from down deep within. And guess what? It'll spring up into eternal life. I'm going to tell you, my dear children, the most precious thing you have. Listen to this. It's not taught right. I know that. I've sat in many services. Your salvation experience. Most precious thing you got. I've been blessed with the privilege to tell hundreds of people. Tell everybody you can. Write it down. Think about it often. Tell people about it because I'm going to tell you that lets them know. A lot of people mention God. A lot of people mention Jesus. But when they hear that experience, it has a profound effect on them. I've seen them melt down right before me because they say, if that can happen to him, I know it can happen to me. But most of the time, people get older in their salvation and they talk about the good things God has done. But really, you know what happens? They forget that first love, that first experience. Not that we don't love God, but remember how when you first got saved, you couldn't help but tell somebody, could you? That's what I challenge people with. What happened? Did you get to tell somebody today? If you didn't, pray you'll get to tell somebody tomorrow. There's people dying all around us. Uh-oh.
Sorry about that.
Let's look on over here. You know what's funny? I preached at a church back home. It was a pretty modern Baptist church, not like our people. I preached one time in there, and I preached in tears just about the whole service. The Lord just blessed me. And I got done. There was probably 100 people or more in there. This older lady, she stood up and she said, "I've heard that kind of preaching before. I was from down in West Virginia." Do you know what? The Bible says, "Woe unto those that are at ease in Zion." I preach pretty hard towards service to God, but guess what? If it don't help you, it helps me. Because that's the gospel. It's offensive. When you try to stay right, Jesus offended my heart. He let me know what I was. A sinner separated from God. Thank God he offended me. He let me know who I was. Nothing. And what he is, everything. And that's what the gospel does. We love our brothers and sisters, but we have to preach it down. Folks will say, "Man, you stepped on my toes tonight. Oh, I missed. I was aiming for your heart." We need to stir up the gifts that are within us. Everybody has gifts and talents to use for God. We need to get them stirred up. Start thinking about those ones around us that don't know God. I was talking to the Lord the other day. I remember when I first got saved, I went to the Cutler Church. Good things happened, and several people got saved. And I used to think, man, I'd get such a burden on my heart. I might be driving down the road to kids. They'd be about half scared to death. Tears just a flooding down my cheeks. I might holler out 50, 100 names. Just people I knew that didn't know God. So tender. Wake up in the morning, get out of bed crying. That's what we need, a tender heart. Tender toward God and the things of God. It's more important. I told him at the mission, I said, "Don't worry about it. There's mostly women there, older women than me. My mom was one of them that joined the church, praise God." But I said, "Don't worry about your dishes. Don't worry about your laundry. Don't worry about your house. It's revival time. Let's come get revived and refreshing from Almighty God. Put all this other cares aside. Come through the church house doors shouting because you've been in the presence of God, praying for those around you that we can get down and pray and lost sinners might come through the door." Pray. Pray that this would happen. See, we keep saying, I'm going to tell you something. Be careful when we say, "We used to. This used to happen." God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'll tell you, he'll bless. I think about it. Old John and them boys. Brother Jerry. He loves me just like he loved them. I can't wait to see him. Those people that served the Lord in such a way that they were able to write down all these things. All the troubles and trials they went through. And how little. That's what I always pray. I said, "Lord, no matter how weak and feeble my efforts might be, you might bless them. Because I'm weak and feeble." Lord didn't get much when he got me. But I tried to serve him. One time my children said, "Well, Daddy, you're the best Christian that we know." I said, "No, you don't know me." Because the closer I get to God, the further away from him I realize I am. My heart hurts when I offend my Lord. See, that's what David said. He said, "I sinned against thee and thee only." We have to realize that when we do things that are displeasing to others and those around us, we offend God. That's what I don't want to do. I don't want to offend the Lord. I don't want to offend any of my brothers and sisters, but I definitely don't want to offend my Lord. He's the one that bled and died for me. Nobody, no mom, dad. Some people say, "That's all you talk about, Brother Phil, is Jesus. You wasn't there." You didn't feel maybe all the hurt and pain I did. I was out there for almost 38 years. Didn't even like my own mommy. That's right. But God, through his mercy and grace, seemed fit to look down upon me. See, I wasn't looking for God. We teach our children through the old time way to seek the Lord, don't we? I wasn't even looking for him. He came, found me. Isn't that wonderful? He came, found you. He didn't have to save you. He can let you burn in the pits of hell, but he's long-suffering toward us, that none should perish. How eternally grateful and thankful we should be to Almighty God for this blessed gift of salvation, that he's given us the free gift of God, because we're saved by grace through faith, and not of works, not of ourselves. It's the free gift of God, lest anyone should boast. Who are we? Yeah. God is wonderful. The gift of salvation. It says in Acts 3 and 19, it says, "Repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Now, I'm not taking this out of context, but I just want to let you know, that scripture came on my mind, when a time of refreshing comes from the Lord. We have to get, you know, all sin derives from self, right? Sin and self, we can remember that. Because remember, we battle the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what we battle. So all sin derives from self. The desires that we have in this land. And I'll tell you what. There's nothing in this land that's worth a soul being a stumbling block to anybody in this world. My brother the other day, I went to the house. I hit my second deer in about the last 3 months. It's amazing when you need a couple dollars how the Lord takes care of you. Deers just come out of the woods and boom, hit me. You know, but I was down at my brother's house, and he was fixing on the car. And my cousin, my nephew, little Hanky, he's been in prison. He was running from the cops, and he hit a tree. I felt so sad for him in there, and I was telling everybody to pray for him. Well, he's back doing it again. They was working on this Mustang, and boy come in, he was cussing around and stuff, and they talking about how they was running from the cops. And my brother just seen, I didn't have to say a word. He looked at me and said, "Well, you used to do it." Yeah. Then he started trying to take the attention off little Hanky and put it on me. Look at that thing. Look at that, you know. People are convicted just being around us, folks. When we live a life, he said, "Be holy, for I'm holy. Abstain from the very appearance of evil." Some dear friends of mine were watching a movie the other day. I just don't watch TV. I don't have time. You can watch it if you want. But the Bible says the eyes are the windows of the soul. Be careful what we put through our eye gates and ear gates. We need to put wholesome things through them. Sometimes we need to shut off some of the things in this world and concentrate on this Bible. Read through it at least once a year. At least once a year. Read it from front to back or however you want to read it. That's what I do. I could barely read when I got saved. Some of you are educated people. You can read better than I can. But the Spirit will help you. If you have a desire for the things of God, He'll help you. I probably never read a book front to back my entire life. But the Lord called me. He'll equip the call, my dear children. The more we learn about him, the more we want to learn about him. The more we sing to him, the more we want to sing to him. The more we testify about him, the more we want to testify. And the more we learn about him, the more we want to learn about him. I tell you, it's amazing. It just feeds off. If we'll just submit everything to God. You know, I've often thought, my children, you know. Last year I was really struggling because I preached 7 tent revivals from the time I got, and about 3 other revivals, I think, from the time I got laid off on the 23rd of April. And sometimes I beat myself up because I go everywhere I try to, wherever the Lord tells me. I try to do that. And when I came back after the summer, my relationship with my little daughter, her mom's very manipulative, you know, kind of like witchcraft. And I got back and my relationship with her was kind of severed. So I started crying on the name of the Lord. said, but Lord, you have me go places and I come back, my family, all this kind of stuff. But he just lets me know he's going to take care of it. He said, the best thing you could show your family is that I mean the most to you. That's the best thing you could show your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Show them that Jesus means everything to you. Your wife, your husband, second best. Your children, second best. Even the Lord's church is second best compared to Jesus. He's A number one, my dear children. And if you'll follow him in spirit and truth, I tell you, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory tonight. I tell you, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. I turned 40 years old. I didn't have two dimes to rub together. I had three children in three different houses. Had a wife leaving me. All my old friends thought I was crazy. I was that old one that knocked the home runs and scored 25 a game. I was that guy a few pounds ago. But guess what? The Lord put on my heart. And I said, well, you know, if there's a more joyous man on the face of the earth, I'll praise the Lord with him. Because I'll tell you, happiness comes from a circumstance. You can get happy about anything, and it's fleeting. But joy cometh from the Lord. Nobody down here gives it to you, and nobody can take it away. The only thing the devil can take from you, if you've been saved by the grace of God, is your joy. And you don't have to let him have it. You don't have to let him have it. We're sealed to the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's why the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whom you are sealed to the day of redemption. Grieve not of the Spirit of God. It's important. Let's look in James 5 and 16. And you know what? This is a scripture that I really love, because Elijah was a man likened unto you and I. He was the old prophet. He prayed it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years, and it didn't. You know, in one spot it says, by your faith be it unto you. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says all things are possible to those that believeth. But here's what it is. We got to get down and get close to God. When you get to praying his will, not your will, just the way the Son prayed to the Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Then he says, when you pray to him, there's one thing you can be sure of, that the Father is hearing him. Now, as the brother said, how that he decides to answer him, that's his business. That's not your business. That's not my business. He's the potter. We're the clay. It's up to Almighty God what he wants to do with us. We're just a vessel here to the living God. Whatever God sees fit to do with us, that's his business. I'm thankful that I live in a country where that, you know, the gospel's preached pretty freely. Nobody's really going to jail too much over here for it. But some other countries, it's not so good. Guatemala, Africa, Jamaica, some of these places aren't so good. You know, we need to thank God each and every day. You know, that song my wife likes so well. About there's a roof up above me, shoes on my feet or something. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's shoes, food on my table, and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. And you know what? I've got a fine family. I've got people I know pray for my children. I've got a wonderful thing. It said those that, you know, have to leave homes and children, family. He said he'll restore 100-fold in this lifetime, a lifetime to come, eternal life. I got people I know praying for my children. That means a lot to me. That means a lot to me more than anything. My son Quentin asked me one time, he said, Daddy, if you could wish for anything. He seen this beautiful, shiny car going by. He said, Daddy, what would you wish for if you could have anything? He said, I'd like to have that car. You know, kids, they like to have that car. Didn't take me but a second. I said, everybody in the world to be saved and Jesus to come to get us. What else could we wish for if a wish could come true? Everybody to be saved. It's the will of God that none should perish. We should desire all men everywhere, red, yellow, black, white. Tall, fat, skinny, short, it don't matter. Young, old. I want everybody to be saved. I wish all of our churches were multicultural. There was all kinds of people. We'd learn a lot, wouldn't we? We'd be able to reach a lot more people if it was that way. We'd learn from one another. But it seems like there's a great separation even amongst God's real people. I don't understand it all, but I don't really think God's all happy with it. I think it'd be wonderful if we could all worship the Lord in spirit and truth together. Don't you? I really do. I think it would be wonderful. Because I can learn so much from people. I have learned. And it says in the 16th verse, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm going to tell you, there's power in confessing your faults with your brothers and sisters. There's power in confessing. When I got saved, I couldn't figure out what an unspoken request was. I was like, what's that? And I still don't know all about it. There might be some things that you can't, but you should have some brothers and sisters that you have enough confidence in that you can bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We should be that tightly knit together. I was sharing with them the mission the other day. The old time churches, from what I understand, if they was somebody messing around on their husband or wife, the church would exclude them. They got right down to the nitty gritty. She's a pillar in the ground of the truth. We're to set a standard for a holy and righteous church in this world that people got something that they can look to see what's right. Because if they don't stand for something, they'll fall for anything. And that's what we've done in this country. There has to be discipline. There has to be things that happen. But we're not a people that like to be disciplined too well sometimes. Let's look here. And I'm going to go to a few places here. In Psalm 91 and 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. You know, the Bible says that the Lord is a very present help in time of trouble. I believe that's in the 46th Psalm maybe. And I believe that talks about, they're back in the Hebrew, it talks about the speed, the completeness, and the might of the Lord's help. He's a very present help in time of trouble. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's not like us. He doesn't wear down. He's always there to help us on our journey. So we should get up early and often, being effectual and fervent in prayer. Those saints of old got up early in the morning and they were praying. We need to be like the Marines or whatever. You know, we do more before 6 o'clock. Most people do all day or whatever. We need to be like that. We need to get up early, seeking God's face. Because you know what? I'll be quite honest with you. I told a friend of mine the other day, he was at my house. I said, look out back out there in the backyard. I said, just imagine people with machine guns firing in on our house. I'd want to try to protect my family, wouldn't you? We're in spiritual warfare, people. We need to realize what it is. We need to have the Lord open our eyes the way he did for old Elisha's servant, that we might see what's happening around us, that we get armed up and prayed up and ready to go to fight the spiritual battles of God. You got to pray them through. You can't just stumble through life. You got to pray them through like the saints of old did. They lay prostrate before God, didn't they? They got down and prayed. I like to hear the stories. I need to go one day when the Lord makes a way. I like to hear the stories of the people in Africa in different places. They pray till they just fall out. Isn't that something? They want something, don't they? Huh? They know they're in need, don't they? Huh? We need to want that for the people around us just that hard, that we pray till there's nothing in us. And I tell you, when a house full of people get to praying right, when one lets up a little bit, there's another brother over there. Boy, it just rejuvenates your spirit. Next thing you know, you're back in the groove with him. Ain't that the way it works? Jesus said my house should be a house of prayer. We need to fervently pray for these people around us. You know, my stepdad's an atheist. Dick, you pray for him. He tells my mama, he said, you're as crazy as that boy of yours. Ain't that sad? Said, you're crazy as that boy of yours. I hope God has mercy on him. I pray for him all the time. Pray for him. He needs the Lord. He needs the Lord. We'll all find out one day. one day we're going to get a seed.
Bible says, now we see through a glass darkly, but one day, that old song, face to face, I shall behold him. I'm going to look upon him. One day, I'm going to look upon him. I won't be carrying this fat body either. I'll be carrying, I don't know what I'm going to look like, but I'm going to be looking a lot better than I do now, Brother Jerry. I don't know what it's going to be like.
But that's what I tell people sometimes. I say, you know, I'm not much to look at on the outside, but if you could see in my heart, if I could just look down in there and see the love that glows for my Lord, they could see something. They could see something. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry. He shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The Lord's everywhere. I remember that cartoon I used to watch. It says, Savoir Faire is everywhere. Remember that little cartoon? You know? Jesus is everywhere. David said, even if I went down to the pits of Sheol, God is there. He's everywhere. He's the creator of all this. And you know what? I'll tell you what. I say, forgive me, Lord, of my lack of belief. Because I tell people all the time, you know, the Lord could take this church and flip it upside down right now if he wanted to. He can do what he wants to. So why don't we trust him with things? Why don't we really trust him? We trust him for salvation and act like he can't do for us. He can't supply what we need. I think sometimes it's because we want more than we need. It's kind of like if you know that scripture where it says, Lord, don't give me too much that I want to forget you. I always tell people, I'll never have to worry about having too much. Every time I get a little ahead, Brother Jerry, the Lord finds somebody that needs it more than I do. That's the way it works. For me anyway. My treasure is laid up in heaven. That's where we need to lay it up. And it says, and I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. And you know what? That's why it's so important to read, study, and pray over the scriptures and the Old Testament. I love those stories. God never came out with shields and swords and horsemen. He came out with little guys. Old David came out and slew Goliath. He took up from 32,000 down to 300 with Gideon. He comes with a small bunch of people and power with them, folks. There's power in the name of Jesus. We should be out proclaiming him everywhere we go, singing about him. I go into stores sometimes and I start singing and people look at me like I'm funny. But I just love to sing and tell people about Jesus. It's my favorite thing is to try to tell people about Jesus. Because you know what? It's like Philip and that old Ethiopian eunuch. And he was reading the book of Isaiah when he was going across there. You know, he was a treasure to the queen. And the Lord sent Philip out away from revival. And he went out there in the middle of the desert and drawed himself up to the chariot. And he said, do you know what you're reading? He said, how would I know? Lest somebody tell me. It's important, isn't it, that we tell people about Jesus. And he says, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto thee. And I believe that means continually. Ask, seek, and knock until you get what you need. In salvation, ask, seek, and knock till you get direction in your life that God could lead, guide, and protect you in this life. Because I'll tell you, when you get in the Lord's pleasing, pleasant, perfect will, there's power. Just like I was telling my wife the other day, I said, babe, we need to pray more together. One to put a thousand to flight, two to put 10,000. It's important that husbands and wives come together, brothers and sisters come together in the name of Jesus and praying unto the Father. There's power, people. And we miss it sometimes. It's important. I've been around preacher brother, and they say, oh, I don't never pray with my wife. I say, well, you should. You should pray with your wife if you don't. There's power in it. It starts with them, unity. We should pray one with another. Bear our burdens. It's important. And it should carry right over into the Lord's church. A couple more spots and we'll be done. But you know what?
prayer. You know, I'm thankful. I was telling Brother Kevin Haley, I went out to his house. I was coming down the road, and I don't know, it's something about a spot down there coming down that road once I get in Kentucky. It seems like, I don't know whether it's just me, amount of time being on the road and meditating upon God, but the presence of God comes over me, and I start praying. And I had a wonderful season of prayer. That must be why those truck drivers beeping me all the time. I might get a little out of the lane or something. But it's important that we get a burden for these people. I wanted to come here tonight and say all the right things. Try to do what the Lord wanted me to do. Maybe this bunch gets stirred. Maybe revival start here in Bowling Green. That's what Brother Phil said sometime. I thought about that many times. I said, I hope we set up that tent somewhere and never have to take it down till the Lord comes back. Yeah, hope a revival breaks out. People getting truly converted. Just keeps going and going and going. But it's sad, isn't it? We're living in some sad times. I know why old brother Jeremiah, he was a weeping prophet, wasn't he? He's seen the condition. We've been in spiritual captivity in this country for years. People bickering, fighting amongst one another. Sad, isn't it? We need to be able to agree to disagree. We don't stand. The Bible says earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. We don't put up with nothing and change our doctrines, but we need to reach out to a lost and dying world. We need to try to check out and see what's happening around us sometimes and try to infiltrate the enemy. Because they're the blind leading the blind, my dear children. How are they going to know unless somebody tell them? I had a brother tell me he might get a chance to get me into three Southern Baptist churches down here. Or three or four. He said, would you like to go? I said, you get me in anything you can get me into, I'll be there. That's the way I feel about it. Don't matter how far, we'll get there. Lord will see fit to get me there if I'm meant to be there. And it says, all these things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. See, faith without works is dead. And when we get out here and we pray and don't believe, we're like a ship being tossed to and fro. We have to really believe that the Lord can do something for us. Just like those people that are saved. Remember when the Bible talks about it's impossible to please God without faith. Those that cometh to God first must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We have to believe that God can do something for us after salvation, that he can move on our behalf and show himself strong. And we have to trust him to do that and see what he can do. Sometimes it doesn't turn out the way we'd like. But that doesn't mean that we don't, by prayer and supplication, remember, with thanksgiving, let our requests be known unto God. It's important, isn't it? And it says, last spot, Lord willing, in Acts 16 and 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. We need a shaking, folks. We need a shaking, a stirring amongst God's people everywhere, that we could go and point these people to Jesus. You know, the Bible says Paul planted, Apollos water, but God maketh the increase. We need to get disturbed within in such a way that we pray that the foundations shake. And people get converted. They have to see it's real. The Bible says there's life and death in the power of the tongue. I was out there the other night. Brother told me, he said, I'm going to be there. I know where he was. He's watching that football game, getting ready to. Ain't that awful? People would rather watch an old football game and come to church. That tells you the state of our nation, doesn't it? They'll get on Monday morning or whenever that ball game's over and they'll just talk about it all week like something big happened. I mean, you can have a spiritual service at church. Well, most of the time we don't have them sometimes the way we need to. People holler more at that old TV than they do for the Lord. Amen. We need to praise him. I'm going to tell you, he's worthy of praise tonight. The heavens and the earth declares glory. The Bible says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks always, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I believe that's how that goes. But that's the will of God in Christ Jesus. We need to be hid in God through Christ Jesus. You know, all them games or whatever was happening at that time, I don't believe Jesus had time to do that. Anytime he had spare time, he was off praying to the Father, wasn't he? Don't get me wrong, we need times of refreshing. I wish I had more time sometimes for family. I'm just thankful the Lord sent me a good wife, put up with me. So you pray for our family. Pray for one another. Pray we'd see a revival. Pray things could be the way they used to be. Not that all of our forefathers had it right, but there was times when they had it right, folks. There was times when they had it right. And wonderful things happened through a small group of people. You are that people. Take the burden on yourself. Let it come to fruition. Fervently pray for the revivals. Get down and spend time in prayer. Not just a little bit of time on the way to work. Get up a half an hour early. Hit your knees by your bed. Try it. See what happens. Good things will happen. I'm done. But I don't know if there's any lost here. But if there is, they need to be saved. And you know, I got a few scriptures I use quite often, just about every time I preach at the end, because they're truth. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up in the last day. 34th Psalm, it talks about the Lord is close to the broken heart, and he saveth such to be of a contrite spirit. Broken, you got to be crushed. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. People have to be sorrowful in their heart toward God. A lot of people get sorrowful. Relative dies, lose their job, they can get sorrowful. They have to get sorrowful toward God. Amen. For what they are, a sinner. And that belief is a trust. It's a total reliance upon. God used wonderful scenarios. I tell folks it's the way a child would nurse its mother. There's a connection. Life-changing connection. Without that mother, that child wouldn't live. Before Similac and all that. We can't live without Jesus. And they can't live without him. And we know faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. People want to have understanding in something, then they'll have faith in it. God wants us to leap out in faith, even as his children, and he'll give us the understanding. God will show us. He'll lead us into all paths of righteousness if we'll put our hope, trust, and faith in him tonight. So it's important.